most of us live life with the expectation that one day, hopefully well off into the future, we're going to die. We try not to think about it too much, but that's the idea. So what if there's an alternative? What if something else could happen much sooner than we think? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome to the program. Now today we're going to be taking a look at the end and the beginning from a different perspective. And do stay tuned because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. There are two absolute certainties in life, they tell us: death and taxes, I guess. I don't think any of us would argue with that little maxim. We all have the expectation that one day we will breathe our last breath on this earth, and that'll be the end of this race. Now, some people don't know what happens after that. Others firmly believe that nothing happens. Others, still like me, well, we're crazy enough to take God at his word, and with our faith firmly in Jesus who died for us and rose again, we know with an absolute certainty that we will have life eternal with our God. I don't mean to sound arrogant or disrespectful if that's not what you happen to believe, but I just know. Whatever faith profile we have, though, we all pretty much expect to end our race here on earth, dying in our sleep or in our beds or in a car accident. Now, we may not like to think too much about that, but that's pretty much the template we all carry around in our heads. One day I'll be dead. That's fair enough. But today I just want to take a look at one other possibility, because there is another possibility other than that. It's a possibility that if we take God at his word, could happen at any moment. As much as we might look at the physical realities of the world and think, nah, that could never happen, actually, it could. Well, here it is. Here's the alternative. However improbable it may seem, Jesus promised that one day he would return and that would be the end of this age. Now, most of us are so buried in the day-to-day realities of life that no matter what we believe, even if we believe in this Jesus, that it's not likely that we consider that it wouldn't happen. We kind of push that in the background. Most people live their lives as though their own death is a long way off, and so the end of this age doesn't appear to matter much. Well, today, let's have a reality check. Let's just listen to what Jesus said about this, because what he said matters. It matters right here and now. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 25, and it starts verse 35. Have a listen, because it's right in your face. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." That's what Jesus called himself, the Son of Man. "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom the master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all of his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect and in an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Boy, that's pretty direct. No mamby-pamby Jesus here. He doesn't mince his words. He says, "I'm coming back. Don't you make any mistake about this." And twice he says, "at an unexpected hour." He has this picture of Noah. And the flood And the day before, it was just an ordinary, everyday. People were getting married, they were having babies, they were eating, they were drinking, and then the flood came and swept them away. They didn't expect it. That's exactly what it'll be like, he says, when I come back. And you'd better be ready. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. It's sobering stuff. Let me ask you this. If Jesus returned in about, let's say, the next 45 minutes, he walked straight up to you and cast his eye over your life, would he find you ready? Would he find you living the life that he's called you to live? Would your life be in order? I'm not talking perfection, but how would you feel if he lobbed in this next hour or so? Now, you may be thinking, Bernie, why are you trying this guilt trip thing on me? Do you think I'm that gullible? Here's my answer. Think what you like. One day, there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of judgment. Now, you and I could be dead tomorrow or today. Or Jesus could come back at the most unexpected hour, the very next hour, perhaps. And when either of those two things happens, that's it. It's all over, Red Rover. And either he'll find us with our faith in him, our hearts full of his Spirit, our hands busy about the work that he's called us to do, or he'll find us asleep at the wheel. And there will be consequences. Listen to what Psalm 111 verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's, I guess, what I want to share with you in no uncertain terms today. We need to have a right fear of God. I want to go back now to the beginning of what we started talking about over these last couple of weeks, what Paul says about running the race of life. Do you not know, he says, that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Live your life in such a way that when you die or when Jesus comes back, you'll be found in him, living for his glory. The point is this, the race could be over much sooner than we think. And that's the reason to keep going with vigor and energy and joy and focus and perseverance. Please don't think I'm trying to lump some great millstone around your neck. No, this is about being set free. See, so often we want to pull over, and the things that keep us going, well, they're multiple, and we need different ones at different times. There's a real joy in running the race that God set before us, real satisfaction. And when we get weary, sometimes we need to look up at the prize of eternal life and think, I'm going to keep going for that. And other times like today, maybe we need a kick in the pants, come on, with the reality that there is a day of reckoning coming, and that day may come at the most unexpected hour. See, there's a flip side to the prize, and it's a hell of an alternative. We need to have both the joy and the fear of the Lord in our hearts and a sober fear of the alternative. And my job is to share both of those with you. Run the race in such a way that you will win the prize. And as you do that, we grow and we enjoy and we overcome. Yeah, there's suffering along the way and sacrifice, but in the middle of it all is the piercing sweetness of the love of Christ. And I have to tell you, it just doesn't get any better than that. Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you.
That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.